We're glad to meet with you again tonight, Sunday night. And what a day the Lord gave us today. I rejoice in that He has delivered us and has proven once again that He is among us. He dwells among us. And His glory goes before us and after us. But I've been made to think about His protection, His care, and how careful He is in His work, in this ministry that He's given us. And I just want to walk with Him. I want to know His will for my life, for you, for this ministry. And I'm finding out a little bit more where our Lord is going. Just, I know I said that years ago. I want to go where He goes. I want to know where the Lord is going and what He's doing. And I want to be with Him. And I want to follow Him. And He has heard that prayer. And He's proven true through the years. Now, don't forget our fellowship day next Sunday, the 30th. And remember, it's daylight saving time that starts Sunday morning. So when you go to bed, make sure you turn your clock up 1 hour. And in the fall, you turn it back 1 hour. We're going to lose an hour's sleep. So you turn it up. If you go to bed at 9 o'clock, put 10 o'clock. You go at 10 o'clock, put 11 o'clock. So we'll all be here and on time and not tardy. I'll have to strike a mark against you. But I'm looking forward to next Sunday. It's going to be something strange for me. I just don't know. But I'm just looking forward to it, resting it all in the hands of the Lord. And if you've been assigned to anything, put your best into it for the day. Now let's turn to the second chapter of 1 Peter. I brought a message along this line on a Wednesday night without any notes, and the Lord blessed it so. But it won't be just like the one I brought. It'll be just a little different. And I praise the Lord. I know the pastor, he would often say, "Now I do not make any apologies for messages that I bring. It might be two or three times, different places." And I come to find that out. Now you take that message I brought this morning that the Lord gave me upon talking about the gospel, Christ dying for sinners. Now, I preached that a few weeks ago at a funeral, but I preached it this morning, and it was just altogether differently. It amazed me. And I believe that those who've heard it would probably never recognize it. And that's how different the Lord just took it and just, like someone said, just put a new dress on it. I think the pastor used to make that statement. Just dress it up a little bit. The Lord just enabled him to dress it up a little bit and bring it just a little different way. But it's the same message. And so I want to bring this message tonight as the Lord has laid it upon my heart. You know, I had a kind of a battle yesterday trying to get the messages for today. I tell you, that telephone kept ringing pretty all day long at my house. No sooner I get to studying a little bit, it'd ring. A little, and that's the way it was. First time we had a day like that. Telephoning all day long. And so I just completely gave up and looked to the Lord and trust Him. And He gave us two wonderful messages this morning. And I'm hoping tonight that what I have here will be instructive to our hearts, and that he'll lead us and guide us. All right, the second chapter of 1 Peter, I know you're familiar with it. And if you're a believer, if you know the Lord, I'm sure you've read that thing over and over again, because there's many statements in there that just bless your heart. As talking about the living stone, just think that I'm a living stone. And God's fitted me into a building, into his building, a house. But let's begin with that first verse. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow by it, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. And here we are, we're back in the scriptures like we've repeated this morning at the Bible School of the Air, that it was the scriptures that made Timothy wise unto salvation. And now here it is contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore who believe, he is precious. But unto them who are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed or left out, the same is made the head of the corner. The stone that the builder rejected, still in all, is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them who stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, it has lots of instructions in this chapter for us. Many times I wonder why the Lord lays certain messages on my heart in regards to, well, things that have been happening here for the past few months, disclosing hearts, showing what's in the heart of men, uncovering that which has been laying dormant for a long time, which I praise him for. And I think it's messages like this that kind of gets us to thinking, heart searching, and cleaning up and confessing. As that first verse states, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Now you have to lay those things aside before you can ever desire the sincere milk of the word whereby you'll grow. And that's the trouble. That's why the word of God doesn't mean a whole lot to people. It's because they hold so much bitterness and things in their heart. That's why the message never takes effect, because they have things in their heart that holds back the message. That's like a wall in the heart that will resist the truth, whatever God, the Holy Spirit, wants to bring to their attention. But after the heart is cleaned up, and after there's repentance, after there's confession, and there's letting go of sin, there's no trouble in for the Holy Spirit teaching us from his word, teaching us Christ, teaching us the scriptures, and then a sincere desire in our heart to want to know the Lord. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us here that the building of the house must begin in the preparation of the stones. That's a wonderful thought, huh? There must be a preparation in the heart before the building of the house. There will be no glorification unless there is first purification of the individual. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Preparation begins down here. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. Now, is the Lord preparing you for glory? Is He preparing your heart? How is it with you and the Lord? Are you in Christ? Or are you outside looking in? In verse 5, we see, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house. Now, we're talking about a spiritual family and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, the stones must be cleaned and shaped and dressed for the house. The Lord takes a stone, He begins to clean that stone up and to prepare that stone as a living stone to fit into His house. Always remembering that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. But He will not be laid in that house, in that temple of yours, until you're cleaned up. Or you might say you're cleaned out. That's right. How does that take place, you say? And how is the individual to be prepared? In order to enjoy the fellowship and the communion of this family, there must be a personal relationship with the Lord. There's got to be a personal relationship with God. Now, how is this accomplished, you might ask? Now, we find the answers and the help we need in these first five verses. Now, I want you to listen. Let's read them again. These first five verses, and pay attention to them as we read them. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Now, have you done that? Has the Lord God, the Holy Spirit, opened your heart? And I believe He has today. And because I've heard some reports here, reports there, I wonder if you're holding malice in your heart. Are you envious against someone else? I'm talking about this family, this church. Some are living stones, and some are stones that need to be cleaned up. You know, we could talk about a lot of things. We could talk about the gospel, and we could say hooray and praise the Lord for salvation in Christ and rejoice in those great truths and doctrines and just rejoice in it. But do you know there's lots of people that puts their stamp of approval on lots of that. And they okay that, and that's satisfactory with them. But just think, all the time within the heart, there's no preparation in that heart for the Lord Jesus Christ to come in. Wherein to believe the truth, to believe the gospel, to receive it, to embrace it, to appropriate by the grace of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm asking a question again. You came here tonight, and you out in radio land, as you get this tape, may the Holy Spirit search your heart. Remember, the heart has to be cleaned. All that heart has to be emptied before God the Father can place the cornerstone there. And you become a spiritual stone in this spiritual house. Now may God, the Holy Spirit, search your heart, laying aside all malice. Now, all right. Now, don't try to. If it's there, don't make excuses for it. If malice is there, don't make excuses for it. Admit it. Admit it. Confess it. Repent of it. Ask God, the Holy Spirit, to take it and break it. Malice. Malice. All right. Guile. And all guile. Wickedness in the heart. You know, there's individuals that can sit on the truth and sit under preaching of the gospel like they did this morning and heard two gracious messages God give us, and they go out of this house and as if they didn't hear a thing in the world, and still holding, cherishing malice and guile, and rather have those things and rather hold on to those things. But you know, an individual can hold on to those things and plunge right down the hell. Do you know that? And fight God, the Holy Spirit, who wants to break that situation and wants to clean up your life and get you straightened out. You've been crooked all your life. And I'm talking about religious life. Been crooked all your life and trying to make God save you under all types of circumstances and presenting everything and boasting the fact who you are and what you are, but all the time full of malice. And I'm telling you the truth, some of the hearts that I've come in contact with are pumping it out like water. And they're just as bold. And hypocrisies, professing something and living something else. Professing one type, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, but at the same time living a life of hypocrisy. And envies, you envy people. Can't be around them, you can't stand them, you envy them. That's the wickedness of the heart. And God hates it. And before you ever get saved, you're gonna say, "Depart from me. Depart from me. I don't want it. I don't want none of this." And there are women that give their husbands unshirted hell in the home. And they come here and they act like angels. In the same way with some men. All hypocrisies, God hates it. Envies and evil speakings, which means lies and slandering. And can't wait to get on telephones and call somebody and begin to talk about people and criticize people and want to take things in your own hand. I've never seen Satan work so much in all my life like I have in the last 4 months. And people want to be deluded and want to believe such trash and lies and slandering. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to clean up. He's going to clean up situations here. And those who are not for Christ and for the truth and is not willing to for God to clean up their lives and break all that bitterness and malice and envy, they're not going to be around here long. Because this is the Lord's work. And he's fitting a people. And he's polishing up his people. I praise him for that. He's putting his stamp of himself upon his people. And they're showing forth as living stones and are built up into a spiritual house. And Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Praise the Lord. He is the cornerstone. So they got to be clean and they got to be shaped and dressed for the house. Everybody's talking about heaven, not getting there. Everybody's thinking about heaven, not getting there. In verse 3 we read, If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And I tell you that's something. If you tasted the Lord's gracious, have you tasted of the Lord and to see that he's gracious? Huh? That'll change your life. Here is where everything begins. There must be a tasting of the things that are divine. Psalms 34:8 tells us, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusteth in him." Now, that's what it means by tasting. Have you ever trusted the Lord? I can tell an individual if that individual has trusted the Lord. And I can easily tell when an individual trusts somebody else in a part of the Lord too. But have you tasted the Lord's gracious? Have you come to Christ? Have you dined with him? You tasted, you talked with him? There must be a willingness and an acceptance of that which the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ prescribes for us. Now there's got to be a willingness on the sinner's part, on the individual's part, as prescribed in the gospel. Now the gospel demands one thing, more than one thing, but one thing that stands out in my life, and it has been with me through the years, ever since God has saved me, and that is obedience unto the will of the Lord. That's obedience, which means a willing spirit, a willingness to want to receive the things that are prescribed in the Word of God. And that which God is against, and God the Holy Spirit is against, and everything that doesn't jive with your Bible, with the Word of God, you don't want it in your life. God hates rebellion because of sin against him. Therefore, I don't want that in my heart. I don't want that to be the rule and practice of my life. It's rebellion against God. He's against all malice and envies and jealousy and all guile. So therefore, it's against him, and I don't want it. And the sinner reasons this way. All of that has to go before he'll save me. I know that because his word teaches me that. We must taste and see before we can say like the Samaritan woman, "Come and see. Come and see." Praise the Lord when we could come ourselves and taste and see the Lord is gracious. And then we're able to tell others to come and see. You know, when the Lord saved me, I thought everybody in the world would want to hear me. Now that's how great salvation is. And that's how great it is in your life. You would think that everybody would want to hear it and want to listen to you. You may go along for a little while and this will hear you and this will hear you, but after a while you'll find out that the majority, they don't care about it. But oh, you've tasted of it. And isn't the Lord so gracious? So wonderful. And then you want somebody else to come. And no wonder that Samaritan woman went out publishing the news, going back to her friends that she used to associate with and say, come see someone. Is that not the Messiah? Is he not the Messiah? It didn't dawn on her right away what the Lord did for her, but it did. It did. She got that well of everlasting waters that she yearned for. So we must taste and see before we can say like the Samaritan woman, come and see. We must taste and see what the grace of God is like that is so freely offered to us in the gospel. But it's sin that shuts it out. We must taste it to find out for ourselves its refreshing effect in our lives. We must taste and see how gracious the Lord is. Jeremiah 15:16, we read, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. Let's turn to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, and the third chapter. All right, that first verse. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat what thou findest. Eat this scroll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said unto me, son of man, eat, and fill thy stomach with this scroll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth like honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, son of man, go, get thee into the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. But the prophet says they were like, what? It was in my mouth like honey for sweetness. And that reminds you of the rock, doesn't it? Honey in the rock. The Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I did eat it. It was like honey in the rock. I wonder how many of us eat the Word of God. I wonder how many of us feast upon the Word of God. And it's in your stomach, in your belly, you might say, in your heart, sweetness unto your soul, in your meditations back home. I wonder how many of us are tasting that the Lord is gracious. I would that every one of you were doing that. Come and taste. Come and see. Come and dine. Come and eat. The only way we can eat a message is to obey it. Obedience to the Word of God is spiritual consumption. Now, have you obeyed the gospel message today? Did you eat it? Have you fed upon it today? Huh? Did it delight you? Did it satisfy your taste? I'm afraid it didn't to some of you. You don't know what I'm talking about. It is only when we obey and consume the Word of God that we enjoy the wondrous and the sweetness of grace. But I believe probably when you got home, there are many things you might have thought of. You might have said, I wonder what's the matter with that preacher. He must be crazy. Huh. He must think he's somebody come. He thinks he's a proud individual and boasting the fact of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, boasting himself in the Lord, praising the Lord for the foundation. One of you sat around and you ate up different people instead of eating on Christ, feeding upon Christ. But listen, let me tell you, it is only when we obey and consume the Word of God that we enjoy the wondrous and the sweetness of grace, like honey in the honeycomb. In order for us to enjoy the gospel of our Lord, we are to put ourselves in the attitude of obedience, and with a wakeful mind, we will be able to discern the fullness and the glories of redemption in Christ. Its message of reconciliation, the grace of forgiveness, and the joy of peace. Now, those are the things that we can feast and eat upon, and they're gracious to our hearts. On the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, feed upon that what Christ has done. The other stuff you keep on feeding on, you're going to starve yourself to death. Verse 1 tells us about putting away of sin. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, the more I appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ, the more I'm going to depreciate the godless. Do you know that? The more I appreciate my Lord and feast upon Him and eat Him and the Holy Spirit transforming my life into His image, the more I'm conformed to it, the less I'm conformed to the world. And what else? The more I depreciate the godless. And that's true. When we say that we are saved and have tasted that the Lord is gracious, this implies that we have put away sin. In other words, it has become obnoxious to us. In other words, we hate it in our lives. We hate it when it's manifested in other lives. Not that we hate individuals, but hate sin. When rebellion flares up, we hate to see it, because we know rebellion is sin against God. And we know what was the consequence of rebellion in the Scriptures. Under a gospel ministry like the Lord's given us, it's a sad state when anyone arises in rebellion, especially open rebellion, because we don't know what can happen to an individual like that. It's just like those who might be fighting us on the outside. They're in the hands of the Lord. At the same time, they think they're doing God's will, and they're going from worse to worse. And so we don't know when judgment is going to fall on them. It can fall anytime. Anybody who fights God's servant or fights this ministry or this work. You might say, well, you know, it hasn't been done yet, or it hasn't happened as yet. Well, you can think that, but you can praise the Lord for His long suffering and His patience. And I praise Him for that. I praise Him for that. And like our late pastor, and I'll never forget this, what he said. He said, there's many souls that are living today because of his prayers. And I believe, yet we've got to see God answer prayers. But I also believe that judgment is going to fall. And I don't know how soon, but it is going to fall on the ungodly. And I believe the Lord is going to vindicate this ministry. And if they will not see it as of now, in that they've been looking for the destruction of this since the time the pastor went on to glory. If they don't see the Lord's hand in this situation now and keeping this thing together and leading us and rooting out the rebellion and all the undercraftiness in the hearts of people, well, then they're really blinded. There's no telling what God's going to have to do to convince them. Now, that's the thing that I shudder at. If anyone, I don't care who it is, thinks that they can undermine this work and take over this pulpit, or unless God permits them to, or can overthrow this work, they're dealing with God. They're not dealing with man. They're not dealing with me or any one group. Because I know as the sun rises in the morning and goes down in the evening, I know that this is God's work and he's going to vindicate it one way or another. And that's the reason why I plead for you people here. You don't know the Lord. You say you don't know it. You don't show any signs of knowing Christ. And it's about time that you get honest. It's about time that you clear your heart and your mind of all hypocrisy and all guile and all malice and envy, because it cannot live there in the presence of God forever. It cannot. Destruction cometh. There is the putting away of sin. There is the cleansing of the individual. There can be no vital communion between the clean and the unclean. And that's certain. And I cannot have any fellowship with anyone that's in rebellion against this ministry, against any of the saints. And I'll say like the pastor say, if they cannot have fellowship with me, it's not me, it's them. Because they're trying to always put over their programs. They're trying to get their feet into the door. And if they get their feet into the door, they'll get their whole body. Worm their way in. They're out for the overthrow of this work. And God's not going to allow it. And I'm going to stand just as pat and just as fervent and just as bold. I don't care who it is. I'm not all that big, but I've got a great power that I can stand with and stands with me. I praise the Lord for that too. And I'm going to give it all I've got. I don't care if it's kin or anybody. If they stay in the way of this pulpit, stay in the way of this ministry, or this message, they just don't have fellowship with me. And as God gives me grace, I'm going to blast them out. Because the Lord is not interested in great numbers. He's building a spiritual house. Living stones. Loving stones. Tender stones. Gracious stones. Stones that will honor and glorify and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will love and know what it means to love. And if you're not right, you had better get right. Because the Lord's coming after you. Yes, in John 15:3, the Lord tells his disciples, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word of God will cleanse our minds and our hearts of all ungodliness, all guile, all hypocrisies, all wickedness, envies, evil speakings. And that's the reason why you won't take time out to search the scriptures and ask God to root it out and clean up. It is as we eat it that we taste its sweet flavors. And if every member of the spiritual house would saturate their hearts and their minds with the Word of God, what a strong and intimate fellowship we would have here. It will be built around Christ and the Scriptures. You see? Saturated with the Word of God. Then we can fellowship. Then our hearts are clean and empty. There's no malice and jealousy there. And I can walk in your presence. You can walk into my presence. And we can fellowship and embrace one another and glad to see one another. But when I get a scornful eye and a twisted lip and a hard face, something wrong somewhere. That's not Christ-like. That's not a God-like spirit. For the Word of God by the enlightened of the Holy Spirit will make us what? It will make us sweet and clean and tendered. You see, you're dressing up. The Lord is dressing you, preparing you. Wherefore, put away all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, let us prepare ourselves for spiritual communion and fellowship. Huh? And the next verse tells us, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow by it. Now, not that we're babies, but it says, as newborn babes. You know what a newborn babe desires? It's milk. 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 And then he says, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you'll grow. But I believe there's many of us have been stunted. You've neglected the Word of God. You've stopped reading. And therefore, you've gotten yourself in all kind of confusion, all kind of mess. And you know, and you're saying things and you're hoping things that probably you never would have said or done if you would have stuck by your guns, by the Word of God. You thought you could fight Satan with your own reasoning and your own power, and you left the Word of God out. You can't do it. And now he's got you saying all manners of things and doing all manners of things. You better get back to this book here. You better get to meditating, crying your eyes over it. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow by it. It is the unadulterated food that enables us to grow. No believer can enjoy a fruitful fellowship apart from the grace of God. There must be a work of grace wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit. There must be a work of grace there. The grace of God will deliver us, now you listen, from a life of all uncleanness. And there's many things you can attach to that. And we'll work righteousness in our lives to the praise and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, the believer is secured and finds that his grace is all sufficient. He finds complete redemption in Christ. And then it goes on, as living stones. Ye also as living stones. You know, I'm a living stone. Being fit into that building, a lot of that dross has to come off. The Holy Spirit has to polish me quite a bit to get me to fit right in there. Just right. In that particular place. Isn't that wonderful? The dross. He burns it off. Whatever it might be. And you know, he's been fitting me in that spiritual house now since he saved me. And you too, if you're saved. things have seemingly have taken wings, and you've said goodbye too, and you wonder where in the world they've gone. God's burned the dross. And those little things used to come up in our lives, and that used to cause us a lot of alarm and anxiety. The Lord has put wings on them, and they're gone from us. They're gone from us. Preparing us for that spiritual house. Fitting us prepared stones. And after a while, it'd be just right. And the Holy Spirit will just slip it right in there. Built up a spiritual house. Unto the praise and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he does to his people. He's preparing us. We are prepared people for a prepared place. But there's got to be lots of letting go. There's got to be lots of turning. There's got to be lots of burning. In Christ, the believer is secured. Now, you are living stones. The family believers are called living stones. Redeemed, cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, conformed to his image, dressed in his righteousness, and now ready to be built into a spiritual house. Unto whom coming? Who do you and I come to? Unto whom coming? Coming to whom? All right. All of us as believers are living stones. We're coming to one person. And who is that person? Coming to Christ. We came here all day long. Coming to Christ as living stones. There is life in the believer. Redeemed. They find their communion with Christ. Yes, they've talked about us. They've said all manners of things about it. But that's all right. We were communing with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega. We cannot build the individual stones into a house without Christ. It'll crumble in a part of Christ. You cannot build a good religious life in a part of Christ. You cannot do it. It'll fall. It'll crumble. He is the cornerstone. And without him, whatever structure or profession you build will come tumbling down. Your religious life apart from Christ is worthless. All right, in closing, Christ is our salvation. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our redemption. Christ within us, our hope of glory. An enduring brotherhood is the brotherhood which is built upon faith. And that's the faith of God's elect. God's faith apart from Christ. There can be no true fellowship except you have true faith in Christ. Those things just do not mix like oil and water. You just can't mix them. You just can't do it. The Word of God emphasizes the necessity of a personal relationship with Christ. The Word of God tells us and speaks of as in Christ. Anyone that's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And where we received all things through Christ, it's through Christ that we have redemption. It's through Christ that we have cleansing. You can go on. And then it's by Christ, with Christ, unto Christ, coming unto him. Now we have to reckon with Christ. We have him to do with. We cannot ignore him. You just can't do it. You may ignore him here, but you'll have to face him yonder at the great white throne judgment. You might ignore his word here, and you'll have nothing of it. But you cannot ignore him at the great white throne judgment. We either fall on him and be saved, or neglect him and stumble into ruin, as those verses speak there in 2 Peter, in that second chapter, that first Peter, the second chapter. Now, which will it be? Do you know Christ? Do you know Christ? I wonder how many is going to go out of here tonight now. You know you don't know him, but you feed upon things that you've been feeding on all along instead of feeding upon Christ. Instead of asking the Holy Spirit to break your heart, to open your heart, to turn you from your wicked way, your wicked practices, your wickedness, and turn you unto the grace of God, that you might come to know Christ, clean your life up. And I know that only the Holy Spirit can do that. And I know it has to be a work of grace wrought in your heart that'll bring forth a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. I care for your soul. I care for this ministry. That's why we're here. And I knew when the Lord called me into this ministry, I knew I had to care less for myself. And it didn't matter what would happen to me. I knew the Lord would take care of me. I knew that he would deliver me one way or another. In other words, I'm sold out for Christ. And I don't put myself in any position to where I cannot trust the Lord to bring me out of it and deliver me from it. You may not think I'm watchful, but I watch very close. I watch the officers. I watch the workers. I'm concerned. I watch their spirit in working. And I watch you as you come here. Because I know one thing. I know if you do not know Christ, I know if you do not have him as your righteousness, and as much as I know that there's an eternal heaven and an eternal hell, and if a person does not know Christ and continues in their sin, in their scheming, in their underneath work, they're not fooling no one but themselves. They're not fooling God. And if anyone is in this ministry for gain, they just sooner leave it, because there's nothing to gain. I'm talking about physically or materially here, because you lose everything for Christ, but you gain him. And I'd rather gain Christ. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world will have to has to offer. And in this pulpit, I know no kith nor kin. Everyone is alike to me. God's made me that way, and I praise him for it. Because I feel like Paul, the Apostle Paul. I become all things unto all men. I think that's the way the Lord intended to be. Show no favoritism whatsoever, that the gospel will not be hindered, and that I might live a life of reality. I'm glad you came tonight. My heart has been blessed. I don't know about yours. I brought God's message. Although the time just got by rapidly like it has this morning, I'm telling you, the Lord blessed my heart this morning. I tell you, I came here empty, but He filled me. And I just was overflowing. Well, my own son, the Lord just took things in stride for us this morning. And I just praise Him for it. Well, be back with us next Sunday. Pray for the fellowship day. But the Lord will give us a gracious day next Sunday. And we can go away from here next Sunday with our hearts filled, with our hearts broken for what the Lord has done for us. Aren't you glad He kept this work open? Are you glad? Do you rejoice in that? I do. Let's stand. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come again tonight. We want to praise Thee and praise Thee that Thou hast chosen us as living stones to fit into Thy spiritual house that will give all honor and praise and glory unto our blessed Lord. And our Father, we thank Thee for these souls who've turned this way tonight. We ask Thee to do a work of grace in every heart. Bring forth those that are laboring hard with sin. Our Father, those that are struggling so hard with unbelief, may the Holy Spirit open their eyes tonight, and may they be enabled by grace through faith to look to Christ and believe Him and trust Him and lay hold of Him as their all-sufficient Lord and Savior. Our Father, hear us tonight. Give us victory. Give us souls for our labors. Give us victory over our enemies. And may this ministry go on, carrying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the hearts of men. Lead us and guide us and keep us. For Christ's sake, we pray and ask it. Amen.